Coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 7, Chapter entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhava, Text Number 7. Satyasyate svadrishya, Satyasyate svadrishya, Atmana Atmanonyam.
Satyasyate svadrishya, Atmana Atmanonyam.
Vaktara isha vibhushe vabhijnanu chakshe. Sava vimohita diyastava maya yeme.
Sava vimohita diyastava maya yeme.
Brahmada yastanu vritto bahir arta bhava. Satyasya,
Satyasya,
of the Absolute Truth,
of the Absolute Truth,
Te,
Te,
beside you,
beside you,
Svadrisha,
Svadrisha,
who reveal yourself,
who reveal yourself,
Atmana,
Atmana,
for me personally,
for me personally,
Atmana,
Atmana,
then the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Anyam.
Anyam.
Other.
Other.
Vaktaram.
Vaktaram.
Qualified speaker.
Qualified speaker.
Isha.
Isha.
Oh my Lord.
Oh my Lord.
Vibhudeshu.
Vibhudeshu.
Among the demigods.
Among the demigods.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Na.
Na. Na.
Not.
No.
Anuchakshe.
Anuchakshe.
I can see.
I can see.
Sabe.
Sabe.
All of them.
All of them.
Vimohita.
Vimohita.
Bewildered.
Bewildered.
Diya.
Diya.
Their consciousness.
Their consciousness.
Taba.
Taba.
Your. Mayaya.
Mayaya.
By the illusory potency.
By the illusory potency.
Ime.
Ime.
These. Brahma Adaya.
Brahma Adaya.
Headed by Lord Brahma.
Headed by Lord Brahma.
Tanu Vritta. Tanu Vritta.
Tanu Vritta.
Conditioned souls with material bodies.
Conditioned souls with material bodies.
Bahi.
Bahi.
In external things.
In external things.
Arata,
Arata,
Supreme Value,
Supreme Value,
Bhava,
Bhava,
Conceiving of,
Conceiving of,
Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. My dear Lord, you are the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you reveal yourself to your devotees. Besides your Lordship, I do not see anyone who can actually explain perfect knowledge to me. Such a perfect teacher is not to be found even among the demigods in heaven. Indeed, all of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are bewildered by your illusory potency. They are conditioned souls who accept their own material bodies and bodily expansions to be the highest truth. Translation responsibly. My dear Lord.
My dear Lord.
You are the Absolute Truth.
You are the Absolute Truth.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead.
And you reveal yourself to your devotees.
And you reveal yourself to your devotees.
Besides your Lordship.
Besides your Lordship.
I do not see anyone who can actually explain perfect knowledge to me.
I do not see anyone who can actually explain perfect knowledge to me.
Such a perfect teacher is not to be found even among the demigods in heaven.
Such a perfect teacher is not to be found even among the demigods in heaven.
Indeed, all of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma are bewildered by your illusory potency. They are conditioned souls.
They are conditioned souls.
Who accept their own material bodies.
Who accept their own material bodies.
And bodily expansions to be the highest truth.
And bodily expansions to be the highest truth.
Report. All conditioned souls from Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant are declared by Sri Uddhava to be covered by material bodies produced by the illusory potency of the Lord. The demigods in heaven, being absorbed in universal management, constantly utilize their fabulous material potencies. They therefore gradually fix their minds upon their mystically empowered bodies, and also upon their bodily expansions, such as their celestial wives, children, co-workers and friends. In the course of life in the heavenly planets, the demigods become conditioned to think in terms of material good and bad, and thus they accept the immediate welfare of their bodies to be the highest goal of life. The demigods do, however, try to strictly follow the laws of God. And to help them do this, the Supreme Lord descends to remind the heavenly beings of his own Supreme Personality, which possesses powers infinitely exceeding theirs. Lord Vishnu has an eternal body full of bliss, knowledge and unlimited variegated potencies, whereas the demigods possess only deluxe material forms subject to birth, death, old age and disease. Because the demigods are attached to ruling the created universe, their devotion to God is tinged with material desires. They are therefore attracted to those portions of Vedic knowledge that award the various material opulences necessary for perpetuating their celestial life. Sri Uddhava, however, being a pure devotee of the Lord, is determined to go back home, back to Godhead, for eternal life, and is thus not at all interested in the sophisticated Vedic knowledge of the demigods. The material world is a gigantic prison, whose inmates are subject to birth, death, old age, and illusion. And a pure devotee has no desire to remain there, even as a first-class prisoner, like the demigods. Sri Uddhava desires to return to the kingdom of God, and for this reason directly approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is Swadrusha, or one who reveals himself to his devotee. Thus only the Lord himself, or his pure devotee, who faithfully repeats the Lord's message, can take one beyond the material sky into the free atmosphere of the spiritual planets, where the liberated souls enjoy an eternal life of bliss and omniscience. Omagyan timadandasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshun militanye natasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa kadamaya tadati swa vedantikam vancha kaupatu rubhyascha kripa sindhu vivecha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Siddhanta Vishvasini Gaur Vaidhavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So in the purport it says that the demigods become conditioned to think in terms of material good and bad, and thus they accept the immediate welfare of their bodies to be the highest goal of life. So that's basically a synopsis of everyone's condition in the material world. Not that the demigods are bewildered and we are not. We are probably as bewildered, if not more bewildered than the demigods. Everyone in the material world is bewildered. This is the nature of the material world. The material energy is called Maya. Maya means that which is not, which means we take something to be something which it isn't. In other words, we think happiness, we take material happiness to be happiness, but actually material happiness is distress. It's not happiness, it's distress. Like that, because you think, oh yes, this will make me happy, and you try to pursue this particular object, this particular thing, to give you happiness, and then what does it give you?
Suffering.
Gives you distress, suffering. So therefore, is it happiness or is it distress? Right, it's distress. Therefore, that is called Maya. Maya means illusion. Something which you think it is that, but it actually is something different. Like that. So that is the nature of the material energy. So the demigods are in Maya, and we are in Maya. And everyone in the material world is in
Maya.
Maya. Mahamaya ki. Actually, no. Yoga Maya ki. So we have to change the Maya. One time, Giriraj Swami was walking with Prabhupada on the beach in Juhu, and he was talking. There was a group of devotees with Prabhupada. And he said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Prabhupada, I'm sorry, sometimes I get into Maya." And Prabhupada stamped his cane into the sand. And he looked at him and he said, "You are always in Maya." And he walked off. And Giriraj Maharaj was so struck, he just paid his obeisances on the beach. And then he got up and then he ran after Prabhupada. And the devotee Prabhupada just kept walking down the beach. And so he just ran after Prabhupada and his disciples. So that's our position. We're always in Maya. Right? Because we think this body is real. Yeah. So as long as you think your body is real, then you are in illusion, that which is not. It is not real. The material energy is real in the sense it is here, but it is temporary. It is asat. Everything in the spiritual world is sat, right? Because sat means it is eternal. That is called sandini shakti. Sat means eternal. Everything in the spiritual world is eternal. The body that you have in your spirit, in the spiritual world, your swarup, your original form, that is eternal. That form exists, but you cannot access it at the moment. We have no access to our spiritual body. Just like it says, it describes that when the Atma, or the soul, comes into the material world, he is 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair. So it means we're just like a tiny little spark or a seed. And as Prahladananda Swami says, you are 1/10,000 the size of the tip of a hair. And you can't even become 2/10,000. 2/10,000 is the size of the tip of a hair. And yet we're so puffed up. Right? We're so arrogant and we're so proud. And we think we're so big. Right? And I just look, you know, just like when we walk into the temple, through the temple door sometimes, we can hardly get our false ego through. Yeah, sometimes we walk in, it's like our false ego is like, you know, it's too big to even get through the door. Right? So in the material world we think we are very big, very significant, but we're only that big, like we're not even, you know, just insignificant like that. So that is our position. Just like if you get a seed for a rose bush, just like out in the garden we have the rose bushes. So all of those rose bushes, they came from the seed. So at the moment our Atma is covered by the material energy, and we're described to be like a tiny little spiritual spark. But within that spiritual spark is our swarup, right? Is our original form. And when we become purified by Krishna consciousness, then it will one day re-manifest again. It is there, but it's currently maybe possibly unmanifest. So in due course of time, when you become Krishna consciousness, it will grow again, and you'll be back in your original form. Now that form is eternal, whereas this form is temporary, right? But we think this form to be eternal. That's the way we treat it. This is eternal. This will go on forever and ever. I will never die. I will live forever and I will be happy. This is classic Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Ishwaroham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. That's called classic illusion. Ishwara. I am Ishwara. What does Ishwara mean? I'm controller. I am the controller. As Frank said, I did it my way. I did it
my way.
Thank you, Russell. Russell's always there to back me up. She's my god sister. So whenever I'm in trouble, I ring Russell and she does something. So, Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way. Right? Ishwara, I am the controller. What do you have control of? Right? Stop blinking. Right? We have a competition, so you can not blink for 1 minute. Okay, let's see who's the best. Set, go. Right? All of you guys are out. You're out. Everyone's out. So what control do we have? Right? Control when you're not going to blink. Right? Control when you're not control when you're not going to go to the toilet. Yeah, just control. Right? Just like you're in a line at the airport, right? It's taking 45 minutes, you know, you go to like what's the airport called in London?
Heathrow.
You go to Heathrow. One time I went to, I've been to Heathrow a few times, and then you go to Heathrow, and sometimes the line, it takes 2 hours to line up just to get your ticket. It's so, the airport is, it's one of the busiest terminals in the world. And then in the middle of the line, like you're 1 hour deep in the line, like you're halfway in and it's going like, you know, like that, and you're somewhere deep in, and then suddenly, you know, the demigod who's in charge of passing, you know, he decides to give you some mercy. Right, and then suddenly you're like, oh my God. Right? So what sort of controller are you? You think, oh, I have control. I can fly anywhere in the world. I can enjoy. I can go to London. I can go to Jamaica. I can go to the Bahamas. I can, you know, what sort of controller are you? You have no control. Right? But we think we are the Ishwara. We think we are the controller. Right? So this is classic demoniac consciousness, material consciousness. Ishwara aham, aham, bogi. Bogi means enjoy it. Yeah, because boga means the boga, the enjoyment of Krishna. We are Krishna, the boga. And Krishna takes the boga. Yeah? Boga means enjoyment. Right? So you give Krishna, he's the boga. Yeah? This is for your enjoyment. Right? It's an offense when you offer the boga to Krishna to look at the offering and think, ooh, Krishna, I hope you eat really quickly today because, you know, this looks really good. Now that's an offensive mentality to think like that, to think that I am the bhogi, I am the enjoyer. It actually says in the Shastra that if you take something off the plate before it is offered to the Lord, you will become a leper in your next life. I think it says for thousands of lives. It's an offense. So to even think, you know, when we're offering the bhoga, because Krishna is the bhogi, Krishna is the enjoyer. Bhakta ram, jagya tapasam. Bhakta means he is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. It is meant for his pleasure. So if you offer something to Krishna, that you are thinking, oh Krishna, I'll offer it to you because at the end, but I'm actually the enjoyer, I want to enjoy it. That's offensive. So therefore, we should not be bhogis. Just like we have the term bhogi, yogi. We should become bhakti yogis, not bhogi yogis. We can do the bhakti yogi, we can be bhakti yogi impressionists. You know, we can put on the tilak and we can put on the dhoti and we can put on the kurta and the kanti mala and we can act like we're very renounced and very like that. But inside we're bhogis, we just want to enjoy like that. So this is not the consciousness that we need to be in order to serve Krishna. So, Ishwara aham, aham bogi, siddoham, balavan, suki. Siddha means? Siddha. Perfect, perfection, right? So, siddoham, siddho aham. And what does aham mean? I am? Perfect, right? Because this is the way I want it, right? I want it this way, right? So therefore, I am perfect, because I am perfect, and this is the way I want it, and then it is perfect, and it is the way I want it, right? That is material consciousness, like that. None of us are perfect, right? You should learn that in 5 minutes after being in the spiritual world, sorry, in the material world, right? We should understand we're not perfect, right? We're not perfect, we don't have perfection. And siddoham, balavan, suki. Balavan means I am strong, and suki means I am happy. Right? So if I want to be happy, and if you're not making me happy, then I'll use my strength to remove you from the picture. Right? So this is materials of consciousness. This is what we think. Here we are. So in the material world, we are in Maya. Maya means illusion. So we think we are the Ishwara. We think we are the Bogi. We think we are the Siddha, perfect. We think we are Balavan, strong, and we think we are Sukhi. We think we will be happy. This is called Maya. Right? Because in the material world, you cannot be any of these things. Right? And if you don't believe it, just stick around. Right? If you think you'll be happy, if you think this class is irrelevant to you, then just stick around. Yeah? Just give it 50 years, 5 decades, and your attitude in life will change dramatically. Like that. Because you cannot be happy in this world. And if you think you can, then Krishna will say, well, I'll prove to you that you can't. Right? You just stick around. Because the material body, you think it can give you so much enjoyment, but as you get older, like I'm 40, nearly 40 now, it starts changing, the whole picture changes. Just like I mentioned under his appearance date, I hurt my knee at the farm, and now I can't run. Right? 40 years I could run. Now I can't run. Right? I could run for, you know, 100 metres or something, and after then, that's it. Yeah, it's starting to hurt like that. So I'm starting to get some realizations. It's not a good deal. It's all down here for now. I want my money back. But there's no return on this purchase. I'm just stuck with it. Right? And it just gets worse from here on in. Material world key?
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Huh? We asked to be here. We came here. It's our choice. We chose to be in the material world. Now that we're here, we cannot complain. Right? We complain about everything. Oh, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold. Oh, I don't have enough money. Oh, they've got more money than me. She's got a nicer sari than me. I wish I had that husband. I wish I had that wife. Just like one time I was out doing book distribution, and I approached one lady, and she had a baby, and I said to her something. I gave her a book, and I was preaching to her, and I said something about happiness. And she said, "You know, everyone wants to be happy in this material world, right?" I said something like that, and she said, "Oh no," I said to her, "I said, are you happy?" Well, sometimes we're asking questions like, you know, to take the book here, are you happy like that? And she said, of course I'm not happy. My husband's an idiot. So that's the material world. Right? Right? You want to trade your husband in, you want to trade your wife in, you can't. You can't. It doesn't work like that. No? That's the material world. You can't be happy. You think I'll be happy. Right? You know, you think, you know, she's the one. Right? Or he's the one. Like that, but then it's Maya. It's all illusion. Where you think there is happiness is actually distress. That's the nature of the material energy. It cannot be any different. So, as it is said here, that the residents of heavenly planets, they think in terms of all of these things. They think in terms of material good and bad, and so do we. All of us are an illusion. We just think in terms of material good and material bad. This is the platform of the mind. This is the way the mind thinks. Because what does the mind do? What is its function?
Thinks.
Accepts and rejects. That's all the mind does. Right? This is good and this is bad. Just like if you go into Swanston Street or any place in the city, what are 90% of the shops in the city? What are most of the shops? What's the most prevalent?
Restaurants.
Yeah, clothes shops. Right? And out of all the clothes shops, which gender has the most clothes shops?
Female.
Right? So most of the cities is full of females' clothing. That's basically what it is. And there's a few restaurants in case you get hungry in between looking through the clothes. Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's just like that. So it's classic. Men do this as well, but if you really want to see the mind working, you just go and sit in the back of one of the department stores. Right? If you want to have a Krishna conscious realization, just go down the back of Sports Girl. Do they still have that one? Still there? Sports Girl. So you just go down the back of Sports Girl and hide behind all the clothes and just watch. Right? And you'll see the mind at work. Right? Because what does the mind do? This is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. This is good, this is bad. This is good, I like it, I don't like it. I like it, I don't like it. This is wonderful, this is disgusting. That's all the mind does. And so you just watch the women as they go. I'm not saying it's only women have got this problem, men have the same problem, but if you want to see it accentuated, right, or at its pinnacle, then you just watch it in the clothing shops. That's basically what they all do. They just walk through. This is good. I like this. Right? And then you watch the next woman come behind, and she looks there and she screws up her face. And says, oh my God, it's disgusting. Right? And the next woman comes and says, oh, it's so nice. It's just the mind. It's all relative. Like that. So that's all the material world is. Right? It is just the mind fluctuating between good and bad. So therefore, in the material world, in the material world, there are 14 planetary systems. Now, in the 14 planetary systems, which one are we in?
Seven.
We're in number 7. Right? That's your address. Right? What's it called? What's this planet called? Thank you. But according to the Vedic scriptures, what is it called? It has different names, but one name that is given by those who are above us in the higher planetary systems, they call it Marcha Loka or Mrtyu Loka, which means Marcha or Mrtyu means
death.
Right? Because if you look down, just like if there's a whole lot of ants on the floor, right, and as a human looking down, their lifespan is only maybe a few days. They only live for a few days. Right? Like as Prabhupada explained, some of the insects only live for 24 hours. They're born, they grow, right? They fly around, they eat, sleep, mate, defend, right? Produce some byproducts, go through the 6 changes in 24 hours. Right? What are the 6 changes in the material body? You're born, you grow, you stay for a while, you produce some byproducts, you dwindle, and you die. Right? Some insects go through that within 24 hours, overnight, like that. So when we look down at a few insects or some ants, then for us it is insignificant, right? There's no significance to it. So for the devas, those who are above us in the higher planets, when they look down upon Earth and they see us, then it is like looking at a group of ants on the ground. So they call it Mrtyu Loka, Marcha Loka. They say, oh, there's a place of death, right? Because we get very serious about the whole thing. Right, we think our lives are very significant, very serious. We take the whole thing very seriously. Right? It is my house, and it is my letterbox, and I will paint my letterbox olive green, and I will put brass numbers on it. Don't touch my letterbox. No, what's that? Who cares? What's the care for a demigod? Who cares what your letterbox looks like? Like that. But we take the whole thing very seriously, like that. It is mine, aham, mahati, I and mine. That's all our life is about. I, like that, and mine, what is there. So that's the way we take everything in the material world. But for the demigods, they look down and they think, oh, these guys are really mixed up. You know, if they really want to have a good time, just come to the heavenly planets. Right? What do you want to go to Bali for? There's no suicide bombers in Swagadoka. It's much better. It goes for a lot longer. Swagadoka is a lot better because you don't have to pay for your food. Right? You don't have to pay for accommodation. Like it's all there. Heavenly Planet is unlimited facility for pleasure. Right? You can have unlimited pleasure practically in the Heavenly Planets. In the heavenly planets, there's no old age and there's no disease. So the demigods are looking down, they're thinking these poor creatures. Right? They're trying to enjoy, they think they're having a good time, they're not even enjoying anything. It says that in the heavenly planets, the women who are called apsaras, even the best looking girls on Earth are compared to be like grasshoppers compared to the apsaras in heaven. You know, Cindy Crawford and I don't know what we call them in India. Aishwarya Rao. Is that a Aish? She's not looking as good as she used to. Like that. That's what it's like in the material world. But they're all just like grasshoppers. Not particularly attractive compared to what's in the heavenly. And gravity does not take effect in the heavenly planets. In the heavenly planets, you don't need facelifts. You look at all the beautiful girls in the material world, right? And then you just watch their beauty pass as the decades go. You know, if you put their life in fast forward, right? It's so beautiful at the age of 20, but then they get to 30, then 40, more makeup, you know, then 50, right? That's, and then 60, 70, you know, no attraction anymore. In the heavenly planets, you don't grow old. You don't grow old, you're just youthful. You know you're about to expire. You know you're about to leave the heavenly planets after 10,000 years of being there when your garland begins to fade. 1 year before you're about to leave, your garland fades and you say, uh-oh. Right. Holiday's up. Time's up. And then you procreate. You make other demigods. You procreate. And then in that final year, right, you procreate, you make another demigod, and then give someone else an opportunity, a body, a heavenly body, and then you go back down to earth. Like that. So, up there, it is far superior. Down here, it is Marchaloka, Mrityaloka. It means basically all we're doing down here is dying. Right? It's just a waiting room. Right? You just sit around and you wait. Right? And it all passes like that. Just like in the heavenly planets, they live for 10,000 celestial years, which means on Chandraloka, the moon planet, everyone lives for 6 months of our time is 1 day for them. So down here our lives are insignificant, they're just flying by. But we get caught up with all the little petty things along the way. Right? We think, oh, this is so important, and that is so important, and that is so important. For the demigods, it's like, you know, my God. And that. So even for the demigods, there was suffering. There was no real pleasure. Right? Because it is temporary. Right? How would you feel after 10,000 years and your garland began to fade? Imagine how you'd feel. Imagine 10,000 years, right, of perfect sunshine, right, perfect beaches, right, coconut palms, right, bananas and mangoes as big as footballs, right, and just unlimited enjoyment, and then your garland starts to fade. What sort of a deal is that? You know. So the only answer, which is given here, is that we need to get a different type of body. Right? The body we've got now, it's not good. The body you get in the heavenly planets, it's temporary. There's only one body, one swarup, one form, which is a good deal. And which one is that? Yeah. It's a body which is made of sat, chit, and ananda. So that is what Krishna's form is made of. Krishna's form is made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. And our form in the spiritual world will be very similar. Same constitution. Eternal, full of knowledge, and full of bliss. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada called his magazine, his monthly magazine, what did he call it? Back to Godhead. Right? Prabhupada would always write, back home, back to Godhead. Because people like to go home. When life gets too much, right, you go home. Then go back to be with mum and dad. At least we did in the old days. These days, mum and dad aren't always as they should be. But typically, or usually, you would go home. So Prabhupada is inviting us to come back home, back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world, it is different there. Because the consciousness is different. Everyone is not thinking, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. Everyone is not thinking, I am perfect, and it is all meant for my pleasure. Everyone is not thinking, I am the strongest. Everyone is thinking, I am, the happiness is for me. This concept is not there in the spiritual world. The concept in the spiritual world is one of pure devotional service. Idam Krishnaya, Idam Na Mama. That is the consciousness of the spiritual world. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. That's how we advance in Krishna consciousness. That's how devotees advance. How do you advance? Right? When you become more selfless. Right? When you stop being so selfish. That's how you advance as a devotee. That's what it's all about. Because you see, as we've said previously, just like how many devotees have been here more than 20 years? Right? Two devotees. Right? You don't see a lot of devotees have been around for a long, long time. Like that. Because it becomes a struggle. Right? And what is the struggle? Right? The struggle is, you have to continuously, as a devotee, year after year after year, you have to become more selfless towards Krishna. Your service has to become more selfless as the years go by. Because nothing externally really changes. Really, you do the same service that you've been doing for years and years. You get up every day, you change 16 rounds. Right? You take prasad. Right? As you get older, you can't take as much. Right? And you can't take the ones that you like. Right? I remember when I was a brahmachari for 8 years when I lived here in the ashram. And every morning we go there for breakfast. And I just ate everything. You know, whatever was there. You know, pakora, halva, you know, rasgulla, and kurukshetra, and everything. No problem. All good. Right? Now if I do that, you know, I'll die in about 6 days. Now I'll leave my body if I eat like that now, because the body just can't do that anymore. Okay. But as we get older as devotees, then we have to become more selfless. Not so self-centered. Right? Because you do the same activities, but you have to do them with a different attitude. Right? And Krishna tests you. What is your attitude actually like? Are you actually surrendered to me? Even if I make your life materially not satisfying, will you still surrender to me? Or are you conditional? Will we only serve Krishna when we have X, Y, and Z ticked off in our boxes? Krishna, I'm happy to serve you, but I need this, and I need that, and I need that. And Krishna says, okay, I'll give it to you. Because you're a young devotee. If I don't give it to you, you'll probably go off into mine. But then after time, then Krishna says, okay, are you ready to give this up now? And then Krishna starts to take it away. And then as he takes it away, then we begin to struggle with him. Just like you see the children, right? The parents try to take something off the child, which is not good for them. And the child is holding onto it like that. It's a big struggle. That's what we're like with Krishna. Krishna tries to start taking something away and we begin to really struggle. So sometimes Krishna gives it back, or you know, he lets the struggle go on for a while. But eventually, he's just going to cut everything. He's just going to say, okay, time's up. Stop mucking around. Are you going to be serious or not? Do you want to come back to Godhead in this lifetime or not? Are you serious now? And then he tests us. So that's what devotional service becomes about. Right? It becomes about becoming more selfless as a devotee as we get older and older. Right? And then, at the end of life, right, what do you have? What do we have at the end of life? Yeah, we only have the whole thing. We don't have anything material left. At the end of our lives, there's nothing left. At the time of death, what can you take with you? You can't put 10 rupees in your pocket. So that you can get a limpka when you go to Yamaraja's abode. There's nothing you can take with you. So at the time of death, you're going to leave this world with nothing. You have nothing material that you can take with you. All your acquisitions are destroyed. So therefore, the only thing that you'll have at the end of life is your attachment to Krishna. And if you're attached to Krishna, then Krishna says you will transcend. So that is the goal of our Krishna consciousness. Our goal is to live our lives in such a way that gradually, Prabhupada says, that you're gradually becoming more Krishna conscious day by day by day. Sometimes we slip back, but when we look at our lives, we have to evaluate ourselves all the time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, every Ekadashi you should re-evaluate your devotional service. So it means every 2 weeks, every month, right? Every 6 months, every year. Just like once a year I try to go to India. I try to go to the Holy Dhammas in Kartiktok once a year. So every year then I look back at the year that just passed. And I say, have I progressed? You know, what's holding me back? What are the defects? You know, why am I not going further? We have to do this regularly. We have to assess ourselves regularly and honestly. Right? And even if it's a little bit painful like that. Sometimes we look at ourselves and it's painful. Right? You think, oh, I thought I dealt with that, now it's coming up again. Like that. It's difficult. But this is all the tests of Krishna consciousness. And if we're serious, if we want to go back to Godhead, then we have to pass those tests. There's no choice. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Is a spiritual life also predestined, or you know, how much we can progress in one lifetime, or it depends on person to person?
No, it's we can make as much advancement according to how we surrender, because Krishna says in the Gita, he says, yayata mam prapajanti tamstataiva bhajantam. So as you surrender to me, I will reward you accordingly. That's Krishna's message. So it's up to us. Some devotees have, as we have that saying, you have to make the best use of a bad bargain. So some devotees have a better bargain than others. Some have better health, some have better mental stability, some have better they're more emotionally secure, like this. So some devotees have advantages in this lifetime, but there's no disadvantage, because at the end of the day, Krishna says, sarva-dhamma parijaja. Sarva-dhamma means reject everything else. Mam ekam shara, just surrender to me. So if we do that, then it doesn't matter what our defect is, then Krishna will accept us. Material bhakti, devotional service is not based upon anything material. It's only based upon our desire.
But it's not like karma is testing, you know, this much you're going to suffer, this much you're going to endure in your lifetime. In the same way spiritually, you may grow up to a certain state.
No, it's up to you. It's up to you how much you'll progress devotionally. Because bhakti, this is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, bhakti has nothing to do with the material energy. So it's not dependent on the material energy. Even the most lowly people can become devotees, just like you saw Mrigrari, the hunter. Yeah, Mrigrari, the hunter, used to shoot animals, and he used to half kill them. And he would take pleasure in seeing them die in a suffering way. So hands up if you would do that. Yeah, I mean, most of us could not even conceive in killing an animal. It's just beyond our conception to kill an animal for no reason, or even to eat it. It's like, you know, unless, of course, you know, it's World War III or, you know, something like that. But none of us could conceive killing an animal. What to speak of killing an animal and then leaving it to, you know, half dead so it will suffer, so you can get pleasure out of watching it suffer. And he became a devotee because Narada Muni gave him some instructions, and then he became a devotee. So there's no material disqualification. Valmiki was a dacoit, and he became a devotee. Like that. So many stories of that. We became devotees. Like that. We came from sinful backgrounds, but we became devotees. So devotional service is not dependent on material. So, any other question?
We were saying before how when things come out of the heart, we think we've dealt with what we haven't. Obviously
they don't go straight away and they keep coming back. So
what's the reason why they keep coming back, and also how do you
tolerate them as they grow? The things, because sometimes they're pretty prolonged and
disturbing
situations. How long have you been devoted for?
2 years.
2 years, yeah. So you haven't seen anything yet.
Correct.
Because, you know, after 2 years, you're kind of thinking, oh, God, I'm dealing with this and this. I mean, imagine after you've been doing it for 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years and the same stuff. Same stuff you've been dealing with since the first day you got here comes up. Right, that's really testing. Yeah, and then you really think, you know, as Bhurujan Prabhu said one time, he said, am I in the right movement? Sometimes you think like that. You say, you know, why did I join this movement for? You know. Because when it becomes so apparent to us how much disqualification we have, then it can become disheartening, like that. So we should not become disheartened, because more powerful than all of our disqualifications is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prabhupada and our gurus, like that, and the devotees. This, because their mercy is so powerful, then that overcomes or overshadows our disqualifications. Like that. So seeing our disqualifications, we should become humble, like that. And then from our humility, then we should work progressively to get rid of these things. We see some anatta is there and it keeps coming up. Everyone's got the same problems. You know, sometimes we think, oh, you know, I've got this, I can't reveal it to anyone because, you know, I must be the only person in the universe who has this problem. Like that. Everyone's got exactly the same problem. It's nothing different. Everyone's a conditioned soul. We've all got the same conditioning. So within our heart, there are so many anattas which are there, and all that impurity is there. So we should become humble, but we should see that we're progressing past it gradually, like that. And that's just the test, because the test is like, you know, you see it come back again and again and again. But at some point in time, you have to begin to, you have to feel the material energy is slackening its grip on you. Right? If you're feeling becoming stronger, more strongly gripped by the material energy after years of devotional service, then you have to seriously consult someone senior to you to get some advice on how to deal with that. But you should be feeling like the material energy is gradually slackening itself. Right? Gradually you're feeling that, you know, this is, you know, okay, this problem is still there, but it's becoming easier for me to deal with it. Or I'm becoming more detached. I'm still attached, but, you know, gradually it's disappearing like that. Does that answer? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other question or comment?
Sometimes we see that some people do the services so nicely, other people will just won't just can't do it. Why is this happening?
I don't understand.
Like some devotees, they do that service so nicely, but the other devotees, they just can't get there. What's the reason behind
that? Can't get what?
To that level of service.
Yeah, so then that's what Krishna consciousness is about. Prabhupada says in the Nectar of Instruction, he says, spiritual advancement is based upon the attitude of the performer. Right? You have to do your devotional service with bhakti, with devotion. Right? It means, okay, if you go and put your finger on top of Prabhupada's, see the gold on the back of the Vyasasana? Right? Go and rub your finger along there and see if there's any dust there. Right? Or look up on those ledges up there, right, and see if there's any dust there. Right? So if your service is to clean this temple, right, there shouldn't be any dust there, and there shouldn't be any dust there, and there shouldn't be any dust around the bottom of Prabhupada's, like that. It means once that's attentiveness in your service. That's bhakti. Bhakti doesn't mean I just do it and get it over and done. It's not a job. You know, we don't get paid for this. You do it out of, and Krishna sees all the devotion. If you take the time to clear Prabhupada's place, you know, Prabhupada's on an angle now. You know, I mean, as far as I can understand, Prabhupada should be straight. Right? That's a tension in your service. Like, in the last few weeks, Prabhupada's been sitting like this. You know, why isn't he sitting properly? Do you like sitting like this? Like that. So why is Prabhupada sitting? That's a tension in your service. Be attentive in what you do. Like, that's bhakti. Bhakti means attention to details. That's what devotion is based upon. Right? So if you are not doing like that, then that's your, you know, deficiency. Then you have to improve in your devotion. You have to become more serious as a devotee. You have to do your service better. Okay. Does that answer what you're saying?
Just like you said that you can do any service, but you do it with devotion. That's what basically you do.
Yeah, you do it properly. You do it like if your service is to clean the temple, then clean it. Make sure it's clean. It should not be. Korma Prabhu used to have white gloves. White gloves, and he'd come and he'd go, and if there's any dust, then he would chastise the devotee who was cleaning. Like that. That's bhakti. Bhakti means it's attention. You know, why? Melbourne Temple has one of the highest deity worship standards in ISKCON, in the world. Right? You go to most of the temples around the world, it's got one of the highest standards of deity worship, right? Korma Prabhu and Balaram Prabhu, right? And now Chincharupa Mataji and Nadirupa Prabhu have continued the standards which were established here in this temple. Right, so it's bhakti. Bhakti means that Krishna must be served nicely. Right? Just like how many types of milk sweets does Krishna have before Mangalati for breakfast?
Five
types, right? Right. So at one point in time, a few years ago, then the devotees cut it down to four. Right? But that had not been the standard for years. But then the devotees said, oh, because it's very difficult to maintain it, so we cut it down to four. But then another devotee came a little bit later, Gopal Guru Prabhu, and then he brought it back to five. Because that's the standard, that's what Krishna wants. Right? So that's what bhakti means. Bhakti means you have to give Krishna what he wants. And Krishna wants a high standard. What do you think is going on in the spiritual world? You know, everyone's waking up late, you know, no one came, you know, for Mangalati. You know, in the spiritual world, you know, Mangalati means Krishna and Radharani are in the groves of Vrindavan. And when we're doing Mangalati, at the time when we do Mangalati, Radha and Krishna and Radharani, they're in the groves of Vrindavan, resting together on a bed of lotus flowers. Right? So they're resting. The sakis make lotus flower bed, and they get a very thin cloth of silk, and they put that over the bed. And that's what they buy on. Pretty far out. Huh? Better than a tontine mattress. Or a futon. Krishna enjoys, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He sleeps on a bed of lotus flowers with a beautiful, soft silken cloth put over it. So he'll be right around here resting. When we do Mangalaji, that's what's going on in the spiritual life. So it's not that they wake up because they have a rest, they do Rasa Lila on that, and they're resting. It's not that they wake up and it's like, oh, where's all the sakis? You know, where's all the manjuris? You know, it's not like and everyone comes running in late, running quickly. Quick, someone get a garland. You know, so everyone's like, it's all ready. Right, as soon as they wake up, right, the manjuris are ready. Right, immediately. Right, as soon as they begin to stir, the manjuris are looking through. You see some of the pictures. The manjuris are looking through the kunjas, and they're looking and waiting. Right, and when they wake up, immediately they come in. Right, and someone offers tambula. Right, someone offers water. You know, Krishna gets up and he washes his hands and cleanses his face like that. And they pour the water. Someone brings a towel for drying. Like his hands. Like, this is the attention in the service. That's what bhakti is about. It's about attention in your service. Okay. Does that answer what you're? Okay. Any other question or comment? Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.